Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have today something that's super fun and interesting and amazing. It's about the toy industry, which is not merely about whimsical fun and games. It's a vibrant sphere that challenges the boundlessness of creativity, demands relentless innovation, requires an unwavering commitment to safety, and calls for patience to iterate until the perfect balance between play and learning is achieved. It's a world that marries the joyous laughter of children with the serious business of fostering their growth and imagination. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce Matt Nuccia, a luminary in the field of toy design. Matt is a partner at Design Edge, a firm globally recognized for its innovative toy designs, packaging solutions, and manufacturing prowess. When Matt's not engineering the next big thing in the toy industry, he also serves as a contributing editor of Toy and Hobby Retailer. Matt's designs have delighted children and adults alike. They're gracing the shelves from some of the biggest toy companies globally, such as Mattel, Hasbro, and Fisher-Price. Matt's influence extends beyond design as he advocates for inventors and helps shape the industry's future. So join us as we have an amazing journey from concept to retail with the man who turns dreams into playthings. So anyway, here we go. Matt, I am so glad to have you on the show today. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Let's jump right into this because I am fascinated with toys. And I'm like one of those guys, like if I had my own house, I would have walls and shelves of just toys that I take down and play with. And they were amazing conversation pieces. So I want to talk to you about the industry itself. Everybody that I know has at one point in their life either played with toys or thought about designing toys themselves. What's the starting point for a new toy?
Concept, you know, an idea. It's like, it's got to be birthed, right? Someone's got to think about it. And then you got to dream it. And then you got to build it.
Right? Okay. Who comes up with the best ideas, you think? Is it the kids or is it the adults? Is it you? Who is it?
Oh, geez. I wish I knew. I'd tap into that, right? No, it's, you know, who does come? You know, it's hard. It's hard to tell, right? It's no different than like the movie business or the music business. You know, everyone writes tons of songs and makes big movies every year that they think are going to be the next blockbuster for the summer. And some fail and some succeed and some succeed on an insane level and some fail on an insane level.
Did you ever see that movie Big with Tom Hanks?
Oh, of course I've seen Big. Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
It was, by the way, my favorite Tom Hanks movie. I think it still is my favorite Tom Hanks movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It is. You know, there's a lot of very quotable lines in that film for sure, and it's got a warm place in my heart as well. You know.
Yeah. Now, just how close to that could it even come to reality that the kids go like, oh, I really love this toy. I really hate that toy. Like. Does that happen? Like,
it's a robot that turns into a building. I don't get it. That's the scene. That's not fun. Yeah. I get pitched ideas all the time that are just completely missing the fun. Yeah, and I think that's really the trick, is understanding what is the difference between play and watching something. A lot of people bring me ideas, or they want me to develop stuff that it's not a play toy. It's a look at me toy. And you know, kids, they want to touch things, they want to throw things, they want to smash things, they want to cuddle things, they want to, you know, move things along, they want to hide them and find them. There's a million, you know, it's play. It's the it's built into our blood. It's through evolution we've come to use play to learn, right? So simply watching something is pretty damn boring. So that's a whole different market.
I just know that the silly string and the riding of the pony horse might be the funniest thing I've ever seen in a movie. So I'm just saying, shout out the toys, shout out to Tom Hanks. Oh my gosh. So are toys just for kids, you think, or are they for adults too? Like who?
Oh, they're for adults too. You know, toys run the complete gamut. It's funny. I was talking to somebody the other day about how American culture has really begun to embrace toys within the last 20 years. Because if you think back, you know, in the 90s, people would be like, you know, the Japanese are weird. They read, adults read comic books and collect action figures. And now that's rampant here. Yeah. You know, that's everywhere. You know, it's you know, it's fun. Who doesn't, you know, if you're no fun, then F you, man.
Yeah, right.
Look down on my pants. You're the wrong guy.
Oh, man. What's your favorite toy? Just out of...
You know, it's. I mean, my favorite toy of all time, or my favorite toy of right now, or my favorite toy of the last. You know, and there's so many different categories of toys, oh, yeah. Right? It's there's games, there's crafts, there's action figures, there's you know, there's dolls, you know, there's so many different things. You know,
what's your favorite toy? The moment?
My favorite's probably the Funko Pop that Funko made of me. You know,
oh, no, there you are. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, but that's not my favorite. I like games. You know, I play a lot of Settlers of Catan with my kids, and I like Risk. But you know, of all times, Crossbows and Catapults is probably my favorite game growing up. And mm-hmm. You know, I'm perfect age for, you know, Star Wars broke at the exact right time for me. So I'm Star Wars through and through growing up. But you know, there's always, you know, I still get very intrigued by toys. You know, they're fun mechanisms, anything that's really just, you know, challenges your mind, whether it be, you know, directly or indirectly, you know, yeah. if it just, you know, piques your interest.
Are there toys like from the, I don't know, let's say 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s that, you know, they were big then, they've died off and they've come back?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. There's a whole industry to bringing toys back. I've been part of several relaunches in my career.
Really?
You know, I was heavily involved in the 90s for bringing back Creepy Crawlers, which was bigger in the 90s than it was in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
Also helped relaunch Pound Puppies a few years back. But we're always relaunching games and toys and dolls and figures. You know, what's old is new. What's new is old. No, yeah. Just what's old is new.
Yeah, but it is old as dude. Like, is there when you were bringing back toys and you go like, oh man, I played with this when I was like little, and you go like, I want. Well, your kids are what, they're almost teenagers now. Teenagers.
No, one's 45 years old. No. Oh, yeah, they're one's tinkering. Well, yeah, they're both teenagers now. Yeah.
So, are there kids the toys that they had and now they go like, dang, I wish I kept that in the box.
they got one has a complete wall of Funkos. You know, so they're very much aware of the value of toys. And you know, I have a huge toy collection myself, although a lot of it was crated up when they were born because I was like, this is just candy on a table. Like, they're gonna rip all this stuff open.
Yeah.
You know, and I've since left it all crated. I'm just like, it's probably better off sitting in those crates than it would be exposed to the sun. But yeah, no, my kids are, they get it. You know, they grew up in a very bizarre situation. You know, I think they probably are a little confused because growing up, their dad had toys everywhere and they played with toys, and their grandfather also was in the toy business. So they probably just assumed people play with toys throughout their entire life.
Yeah. All right, so are there toys that like you've made at your own shop you bring home and the kids kind of like, I don't know about this one. And then
everything I do, they think is fantastic. No, my kids will quickly ground me. I don't know.
Is there actually like a time when you do bring in like a bunch of kids and you just see how they react to the toys and stuff?
We have done focus groups in the past. Without fail, they're failures. It's very awkward for kids. We don't have the advantage that, say, like Fisher Price. I go to Fisher Price's office. They give free childcare to all their employees.
Okay.
But the catch is, all the prototypes are in the childcare, so they get to watch them and see how the kids react. I don't have that leisure, so you know, we bring in a bunch of kids and they all freeze up and they all get nervous. And plus, I've always found there's something called the good patient syndrome, where, you know, ask somebody for an opinion. If they didn't have one, they'll come up with one.
Yeah.
It's usually not the opinion that you want. Yeah. And it's very much, it's an impulse thing. So, I mean, we do get plenty of data. We work off a lot of data,
uh-huh.
Not so much off of focus groups. So we get supplied, you know, information, you know, this, on everything from what's going on in pop culture and fashion and design trends to, you know, certain demographics, what they're looking for, regions of the country, what they're looking for, also things that are cost effective and where, you know, people think fashion's going. And we use it and we utilize it. The funny thing is we get it from many different companies because we're a development company. Mm-hmm. And without fail, all the data from one company is going to contradict the data from another company. And we're always like, okay, that's not going to work because these guys are saying the new color is going to be beige and these guys are saying it's going to be turquoise and these guys are saying it's going to be plush and the other guy's saying focus on board games. You know, are they? So it's marketing bullshit.
Yeah. So like now you're in the industry, right? So you're like to the record industry. You're like the guy who knows the inside of the game. And like you're the producer. You're who was it that ran the Beatles? You know, you're that guy. So you see all these ideas come, right?
I'll take the role of George Martin, by the way.
Thank you. There we go. And then you go like, that's just not going to be it. We need more blue. We need more of this.
It's my job to make it better. You know, it's not, I try to approach everything with a very positive eye and be like, you know, how do we improve this? And, and improving it isn't necessarily making it look cooler, which we do that, or making it, more accessible to a certain group or something. Improving it can be both those things, but it could also be how to make it more cost effective, right? How to make it ship easier. How to make it, you know, so that it does hit a wider demographic, or how to make it so it hits a more narrow demographic. Sometimes we want to focus something on particular areas, and it's knowing how to make it, how to bring it in, how to get it to retail, and how to sell it to a certain select group of consumers. That's taken a lifetime to get a hold on how that works.
Yeah, because I mean, everyone wants to like design the toy, and they all think they know what the next cool board game is going to be, or the drinking game, or the Barbie is
coming. Yeah, and most people aren't professional developers or designers, so when you tell them there's a problem, they get very defensive. Meanwhile, you point out problems for me, I'm like, oh, please tell me. Like, I want to know where the issues are, right?
Yes.
Because I get this right. You know, but other people will be like, you know, you would think that like you just picked up their baby, like, ew, gross, your child's so ugly. Like people, they get so, you know, so angry when you tell them, like, I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Do you have a project that, you know, you've got in the back of your mind, or maybe it's in the front of your mind now, and you go like, this is a hit, but you just haven't been able to get anyone to like do it with you or get it done?
Yes, I've got a bunch, and not just. Some of them are my ideas. Some of them are people who brought me inventions. And it's the thing is, you know, because, you know, not only do we develop for big toy companies, we also invent and license products to toy companies. And we represent a handful of inventors where we take their concepts and bring them to companies for licensing deals. But, you know, what I know from being on the inside and on all sides of the fence is that it's not just about being a great idea. It's about also being things like cost effective. Mm-hmm. It also can't compete directly with something that companies have. Oftentimes people will be like, I'm going to go to this company because they make cars, toy cars. And that company makes toy cars, which means that they only get X amount of feet at retail. They get 3 feet. So they're going to focus on the best selling items that fit into that 3 feet.
Right.
And they're not going to want to touch something that, you know, is going to jeopardize that space. So they can do one of two things: either say no thanks, not for us, even though it is a great idea, or they can competitively buy it and say fantastic, we'll take that, and never bring it to market, so it stays off the market. So we have to be careful with that as well.
You know, people are going to watch this and it's going to respark that kid, and then they're going to go, man, I had this great idea that no one's ever done, and they're going to go, how the heck do I get in touch with Matt? And and we're not going to even pretend that you have time to talk to all the people who are going to watch this. But
I tend to, when people reach out to me, I'm always just the immature curiosity always triggers me to, you know, want to find out what it is that they come up with. And I've had some really good things come to me from people who from the outside and licensed them and had some minor successes, you know, but I'm always looking for the next big thing.
Okay.
So if you think you got it, but, you know, please have it figured out. Don't tell me it's, you know, the classic joke is, you know, that's a hoverboard. That's awesome. I always wanted a hoverboard. How's it work? Oh, I don't know.
You know, it just hovers.
Yeah, it just hovers. So I always tell people there's no shortage of great ideas. There's shortage of solutions. So if you have an idea, make sure you have the solution.
If I figure out how to do hoverboard, I'll be calling you up.
Yes. And I don't think, you know, I'd probably say first let's license that to the military.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Or to, you know, GMC or Ford or Chevy before we go running off to make it a toy.
We're not going to do that first. <All right. Yeah. laughs> Oh, my God. Okay, so just the steps for people who actually really want to bring a toy to you or anybody else. What do they need? What are the steps they have to go through to do it? We got to come up with an idea first, but then what?
Well, if they wanted to reach out to me, that's great. I do want to have conversations with them first before they show me anything. Don't just send me your random idea. I first have to figure out if you're somebody that I want to work with, because mm-hmm. we're getting into a relationship. You know, that concept is just the Tinder prompt telling you that somebody wants to date. So we have to figure out if I'm ready to, you know, possibly spend a lifetime with this person. Because I've met people who've had pretty good ideas, but I'm like, this guy is an asshole. No interest in having to speak to him like once a week for the next 20 years. So
okay. Yeah. So it's about relationships.
At my level, it's about relationships, because I'm not desperate for to take anything,
right?
But, you know, and I also don't want to be like, you know, just running around jobbing and taking anything that comes through the door. And you know, I don't want to be like some submissions company that just like starts like, yeah, look at anything, and there's a $300 charge for this, and then to take it to the next level, it's 10 grand. Like that's the sort of bullshit I avoid. You know, we're a development company. I make my money from the big toy companies, not from the individuals. So
makes sense. I want to do something with you. I do with a lot of people that come on the show. I'm going to play a little game with you called This or That. I'm going to ask you a question. You can choose either one answer or the other. You can't choose neither or both. Okay. So and if you have to explain yourself on any of the questions, feel free. And let's just learn some more about Matt, and let's learn about some toys here. So we're going to start easy, and the questions get harder as they go. So super simple question, first of all, like sketchpad or tablet, digital tablet?
Sketchpad.
Okay. Toy cars or action figures?
Action figures.
You like board games or video games?
Board games.
Okay. Plastic or wood toys?
That's a hard one. Plastic.
Okay. Classic fairy tales or contemporary stories for Storytime Theater?
Contemporary.
Okay. Do you like doing takes on contemporaries or just flat out new stories?
That's a good question. I mean, the either or could be good, but I guess I'm always interested in a new story. I like the progressive stuff. I'm a big fan of firsts. Like, you know, there's lots of great boxers. Muhammad Ali is the best. Lots of great basketball players. Michael Jordan's the best. You know, I like the originals, the guys that, you know, who did it first.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get a little tougher. How about designing for aesthetics or designing for function?
I mean, they're so different. I mean, the answer is both, but without function, there's no need for form.
Okay. Okay, we'll go with that. Releasing a good product quickly or perfect product later?
Good product quickly. You can always make it perfect in the second round. Running changes, that's what we call them.
I think I know the answer to this, but I just wanted to get it out of the way. Working with a small passionate team or large skilled team?
A small passionate team, yeah. Sure.
Is it still mostly family with your business right now?
Well, even if they're not related, they're still family.
Awesome.
But, you know, my father showed up today for like a couple hours, but I hadn't seen him probably in 3 months before that.
Okay.
He's not at the office, you know.
Did he come in and want to do something for charity again?
Yeah, probably, likely. No, he came in because I had a client here and that we're working on a project that has a lot of patents on it, and we're trying to button it down to make sure it's super protected. So I wanted his input. I needed an outside eye that you know, knew what they were talking about, so I asked them to come in.
There you go. You can't get that from school.
No. And my cousin works here too. He's my right hand man. So
yeah, awesome. How about inspiring creativity or promoting learning through toys?
Creativity.
Yes, I love
creativity. Is learning.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That is the way to look at it. Let's get a little harder. How about designing a new toy from scratch or improving an existing bestseller?
I do both. I would, again, I like the first. So, and ideally, I'd rather do something that hasn't been done before. But it's an honor to work on classic brands at the same time. Okay. So, but I would, if the money and prestige was the same on both, I'd rather be attached to the new concept.
All right. So now let's say if a toy could only do one, would it encourage individual play or encourage group interaction?
Well, individual play is sort of the holy grail of toys. It's not too many items or games are built for individual use. So I'd like to figure out how to make more toys that can be played by one and heavily enjoyed. Very few Rubik's Cubes of the world.
Right. Is the Etch-A-Sketch still a thing? Are they being made?
It's still a thing, yeah. It's owned by Spin Master now, yeah.
Yeah. That I used to have one, and it's like, don't shake it, I will kill you.
I used to work in an art supply store. Instead of working, we'd sit at the counter and just draw like really cool drawings in the Etch-A-Sketch, and all the people would come in and like want to look at that. Then they'd give us like tip money, and we're like, you know, we're getting paid tips to draw an Etch-A-Sketch. It's what we're supposed to be doing the stock room.
Yeah, right. I think I'd take the tips too. Let me see. How about success defined by sales volume or by positive customer reviews?
It's, you know, it's because it sounds like, you know, sales volume can mean it's a hollow experience, but sales volume speaks, pretty much tells you the same thing.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Because nothing is usually positive customer reviews and no sales volume means you've done something wrong. Maybe it's developed too high of a price point. Something about it doesn't work for the average consumer. Maybe it's too highbrow. Maybe it's too lowbrow.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get a little tougher. How about rebranding after a product failure or pushing forward with the same identity?
I think it's rebranding.
Yeah.
Because it's, yeah. I mean, to what I was saying before, it usually means just something's failed, something's wrong. We have to figure out what's wrong.
Yeah.
And it might be branding.
Okay. How about focusing on physical toys in the digital age or adapting to tech integrated toys?
I've said this before, and I'll say it again in other interviews. TV didn't replace the radio.
Okay.
So the toys, physical toys, are going to exist. They're not going to go away. We don't have to integrate them. They'll at some point, they'll naturally figure out how to do that. But a great example of it being forced is like lots of people bring to me and like, hey, we're going to put AR into this. And then
yes,
they make a cool toy and the kid scans it and they look at it and they go, okay, that's cool. And then they're done.
Right. Does it ever get you when you put like, you know, months into a project, you think it's going to be cool? And they're like, like you said, it's like, yeah, it turns into a building. So what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes I chuckle, you know, especially if I'm so lucky to have called it before it happened and not actually be the reason why it failed. It was great to be like, ah, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. How about collaborating with competitors for industry standards or leading the way solo?
Oh, I love to collaborate. I collaborate all the time.
Yeah. I would think like that's part of the game, right? It's like, yeah, that is the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the toy inventor community is really tight. We hang out and vacation together. So it's, you know.
Okay. How about rapid innovation with risk or slow and steady development?
I don't have the fortune to spend a long time on developing something. I'm not Tesla. You know, so everything we do is rapid. Although when people call me and they say they want to come up, they want to bring their own toy to market, and they ask me how long it takes, and I tell them, you know, but 12 to 24 months. They're like, wow. I'm like, that's short, dude.
You know. Yeah, I want to eat tomorrow, right? Let me see. That this is a profound to me. I want to know, if you had to choose, create toys that kids love but parents dislike, or toys that parents love but kids are indifferent to. Because who's your market? Is it kids or is it parents?
I would cater to the kids.
Okay. So
the second one means I screwed something up.
Okay. Okay. So really, it is all about the kids. It's not about whether or not the kid, the parents love it or not. Because won't the parents fight if they love it?
A toy is a toy. And if the kid's intelligent or creative or even if they're daft and incompetent, the inherent act of play is expanding their mind. Okay. So you don't have to buy them an abacus that's Disney themed to make them, you know, grow faster and smarter.
Okay, gotcha. How about have a highly successful toy linked to a fleeting trend or a moderately successful toy that's timeless?
I mean, everyone, you know, it's always nice to have the long tail items because, you know, they help you on rainy days.
Yeah. I want to invent Monopoly.
Monopoly, right? I wish I did too. But the funny thing about Monopoly is it's an anti-capitalism game.
Do you know, I don't understand the game of Monopoly. Like, I really don't. You keep going around, you keep buying things, everyone runs out of money, someone's got it all, now what do you do?
Yeah, well, I mean, Monopoly. Though we've worked on a few Monopolies. Most recently, we did the Spider-Verse Monopoly for Hasbro, which was fun, yeah.
What's your favorite token that you move around?
Spider-Gwen.
Yeah. Are they painted or are they silver?
They're the metal ones. They're nice.
Awesome. Nice. In the grand scheme of things, creating happiness for the child using the toy or peace of mind for the parent buying it?
It's the kid. I'm making them for the kids, not for the parents.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. I want to just thank you for being on. I could literally talk to you all day about toys, I think, and learn stuff from you. So thank you for taking the time being here.
And oh, no problem. Thank you.
Definitely want people to be able to stay in touch with you. You've got your website, designedge.net, which I've been over and I just love it. And the amount of awards and accolades on there is like very cool to read about and see. And then you've got your LinkedIn / Matt Nuccio. So thank you again for being on. And I'd love to talk some more in the future.
Great. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much. And we out.